And I'd like for Audrey. Where's Audrey? There's Audrey Lipinski. Audrey Lipinski is going to come and share just a little bit about Mother's Day and her mom. You're welcome.
Hello, everybody. I'm up here to talk about my mom. And she's an amazing and hardworking person. And I think if I were to write her Facebook bio, which is, you know, or like an Instagram bio, I would say that she is a loving wife, a mother of five, and two foster babies. She loves Jesus, dark chocolate, the ocean, and sunshine, but that's a really shallow picture. You really don't know much about my mom just from that. So I thought that instead I would share a quick story of a time when I really admired my mom. That way y'all could get to know her a little bit better. This particular story was from June 2014, and it was our first mission trip together in Costa Rica. So we were down there, and it was kind of one of those mission trips where you just talk to people and be like, hey, want to learn about Jesus? And if they're interested, then you bring out like an E-cube or something visual to give them a better picture of it and help explain it to them. And sometimes we met Christians and we would pray with them, and that was pretty cool. And there was this one day, I think it was after church, we were walking down these streets and we were near a ravine on one side. It was really pretty. And there was this guy way at the other end of the street. And my mom was like, we need to talk to that guy. Like, he is the guy today that we are going to talk to. And our translators automatically, they looked at her and they're like, no, no, no. Like, we're not going over there. We know that guy. He's actually a drug dealer, and we don't, like, he's not safe. And I don't really remember exactly how the conversation went, but it ended with my mom leaving, and she went over and continued walking to him. And we were all just like, oh my gosh, no. And the translators, they looked at each other, and then they looked at me, and I was like, you know? And then they looked back at my mom, and she was already gone, so we were like, ah! And we all kind of caught up to her and introduced ourselves to this guy, and it was actually the most amazing conversation that we had the whole entire missions trip. It lasted for over half an hour, and this guy was, like, super interested. I think we ended up reading out of the Bible to him, and our translators kind of took over for parts of it, and it was just, we just had a really good conversation. And he didn't accept Jesus, but that wasn't really the point of it, because we planted a seed, and I think that was the important part, because when someone just prays the prayer, and they're like, oh, like, thank you, I prayed the prayer, I'm done now, you know, sometimes it's not really real, and it's not lasting. But this guy, what we talked to him about, he was never going to forget it, and you could tell. And so that was just an instance of where I really admired my mom and her determination, I guess, because she was determined to talk to that guy, and she didn't care what he did. You know, if he was a drug dealer or anything, it didn't matter. So thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. Thanks, Audrey. Can I ask William Luxia to come up here?
Hello. I'm using my phone because I'm a teenager. And let's get to my notepad. Great. So my mom, some of my best memories and what I really love about her usually come from the times when we're at home, because she homeschools us. And so that's when I usually spend the most time with her. And so some of my best memories, I find it hard to find one, so I'm going to go through kind of elementary school, middle school, high school, and kind of just go through, pick through, and kind of say some of the highlights of those. So from kindergarten through fifth grade, elementary school, I actually was public schooled. And the teachers knew Peter and I, my twin, and they kind of always told us we were bright, nice kids. And I realized that I really had very little to do with that. That was really mostly due to how our mom raised us, the manners she taught us, and how we interacted with others. And so I really, looking back, thank her for what she did for us then. But at the same time, she always instilled in us love to have fun and explore. even to be dangerous sometimes. One of my favorite memories, I don't know why she let us do this, but I still remember holding the record for the most items jumped over, in this case, 2 hula hoops, 3 bicycles, and a red wagon, I think. I was like 8 at the time. I don't know how I did it. Anyway, in middle school, we were doing baseball, and I don't remember her ever missing a game. I think some of my greatest memories throughout middle school was just being able to see her in the stands almost every time. And so that's also when we started homeschooling, and this is when I really first started to see her commitment to teaching us. And I realized I was really not a very good student to begin with. Whenever we would start school, we'd always, you know, like any middle schooler, we don't want to do school. And we'd try to find any distraction possible to get us out of starting school. And so then once she finally got us wrapped into actually starting, getting our textbooks out, we'd immediately be tired. You know, I'm too tired, I don't want to do school, I can't think right now, whatever. Whatever we could come up with to try to delay it longer and not do it. But she persisted, and we got a lot of really good courses done early on, which actually really helped later on in high school. Because once we got to high school, all of a sudden we had a few courses out of the way, and we could start focusing on really in-depth curriculum, which now is going to even help us further on in college as well. And so she really had a huge part in teaching us and guiding us through high school and the courses that we took. And so I really thank her for the support she's given us through our high school life. And so now it's about 18 years that she's spent, almost 18 anyway, that she's spent teaching us, helping us, guiding us, and really helping us grow. And I really thank her for that. And so, Mom, thank you. And I love you very much. So.
Can I have thanks, Will. Can I have Hannah Howard come up here? Where's Hannah? There's Hannah.
Good morning. And happy Mother's Day. So to preface, before I start reading this, I've always enjoyed writing. Well, not always. Definitely did not start out that way. You'll hear a little bit about that. But I decided to do a written piece for my mom because it's something that she's been encouraging me to do. So she wakes and quietly descends the stairs. Last night was late with a short night's sleep, yet she rises, early, slow, tired, yet with purpose. Her mind already reeling with the tasks of the day, she leans over her sewing machine, her hands resting heavily on a project, the one she left only a few hours ago. Lord, you know our need. You are our provider. And so she sews through the day and into the night. The thudding of earth-stained feet, running to catch bees and dragonflies, early morning to dusk. She stands in the screen door smiling, chatting, watching us gently transfer our finds into little clear boxes. She calls us in for frozen sweetness, fruity popsicles. Smiling, she watches us as we bound out the door into the sunshine. She resumes her work, tapping away at her calculator, balancing the checkbook, watching the budget. Every alteration, every slip cover, every hour of grueling cleaning, unexpected gifts. All is accounted for. All is paid. My girls are safe and secure, a reminder of his faithfulness and care. The cooler is pulled out. Beach day. Sandwiches, grapes, water, napkins, colorful towels, and goggles. We walk barefoot into the midday sand. Our minds already swimming in the cool, clear water. She methodically sets up a chair, an umbrella, a snack station, and towels, takes our rumpled clothes and gently moves them to the side. We splash and play, making new friends and discovering other worlds. She watches, she listens, occasionally calling not to go too far. Her heart is filled with the joy of her girls, always making time for fun and exploration, never burdening our minds with the weight of the world's burdens. Another day dawns. She looks in the closet, pulls out sneakers, jeans, a mint green t-shirt, the mommy shirt I always called it, a touch of red lipstick, the soft glow of pearl earrings, and so she scrubs bowls, floors, windows, spraying, mopping, stocking, the dancing laughter of her girls in the distance. She smiles. I fall down and scrape my knee, up the stairs, down the hall, into the bathroom, her embrace. Faint bleach, fading perfume, warm embrace. All is right with the world. Another low score comes back on a spelling test and a three-paragraph essay. Read it out loud, spell it out loud. Close your eyes, spell it out loud again. Now write the word, she instructs. My heart sinks as I struggle to remember the letters. She gently reads, spells, and reads again for me to hear. Over and over we practice. The teachers comment, you need to focus on flow and structure. And so I rewrite. She takes my notebook, already worn from the eraser. After what seem like hours, she gives it back. I see more pen than graphite. But she sits with me and explains it all. Just keep practicing. Don't give up. Hard conversations, new discoveries, relationship building. She prays, instructs, guides, explains, and repeats. Through the tones, the eyes, the posture, the nonverbal cues, she pushes on despite her questioning. Am I doing this right? Am I messing them up? She prays all the more, seeking guidance, discernment, every year garnering increasing depth of wisdom. College is on the horizon. She knows the road of debt. She never had what I could have. She prays. She goads and prods. Keep working on those applications. Each one counts. Late nights, early mornings, she takes each application and reviews, proofing and editing. 4 years of applications, she keeps track, reminding, editing, writing. She was there with me. Late nights, middle of the day, on the phone as the tears and laughter traveled their way over the line. 5 hours round trip for short visits. A shot in the arm, the encouragement I needed to keep going. Ever present was her shoulder, her arms, her laughter and tears. A word of wisdom, scripture to remind and focus. She couldn't walk it for me, but was always present beside me. She was always there. She is always there. A new page is being written. New jobs, tense moments, passing parents, children less present and needy. She struggles to know what to do with herself, her time. It's always revolved around us. She begins to feed her soul, really feed it. Phone calls, cards, notes, events. Little by little, she begins to cultivate passions and the love she gladly set aside to raise her little girls. I begin to see a woman as an individual, as more than mom. To this day, she says that she would do it all over again for us. She wouldn't trade her life before children for the world. Committed, selfless, humble. She cares first for her family. Weekly prayer phone calls with one daughter, Bible study with another. I want to be committed and invested first to my home, then to others. From strained to mending relationships, her siblings begin to listen. Her parents need their children now more than ever. She leads the charge, selflessly giving of her time and energy to make them know that they're loved, and by one whose love is greater than hers. She leads, and I follow. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Thank you. Well, Moms, y'all's lessons have worked pretty well in the things that they've shared. Could Daniel Ferris come up here? Where is he at? Oh, there he is.
Great, I'm crying from that, so now I need to be able to read this out loud. Okay, well, I know my mom is a little bit shy about being publicly praised, so I get to have the pleasure of simultaneously praising and embarrassing my mother today. 27 years ago in January, my mom went from just celebrating Mother's Day to being herself celebrated. I can say with confidence, from personal experience, that she deserves it. From years of homeschooling to boarding school and college, and now as I try to muddle my way through the beginning of adulthood, Mom has been there with wisdom, kindness, and care. Sometimes what you need most is just someone to listen. Sometimes you need advice and encouragement. Sometimes you need someone to tell you to stop moping around and just get on with it. Mom has provided all of that at various important times. One thing that has impressed me more and more as I've grown older is Mom's willingness to be honest about struggles. It's been so encouraging for me as I've gone through my own rough patches that she has shared her own troubles and how God has met her where she was at. However, Mom has not only contributed with her words of wisdom. She has lived a life worthy of admiration and respect, focused on constantly deepening her walk with Jesus and letting the overflow touch all that's around her. From the beginning, I remember Mom demonstrating a living and active relationship with the Lord. She has been constant in observing her own quiet times, and I've watched her participate in various Bible studies, often in a leadership role. In fact, one of my earlier memories is catching lizards in Miss Claudia's basement while Mom was in a Bible study upstairs. I've seen Mama Karen, as the students she worked with in South Africa called her, step into a mentorship role for various younger women over the years, willing to share whatever she could from her life, if needed, or just provide some love. Recently, she participated in the Colson Fellows program in order to challenge herself and push herself in new ways. It has been great to talk with her about her experience with the program and to share in her joy in taking part in it. We should never underestimate the value of simply witnessing someone live a good life. I've had the privilege of watching Mom live well for 25 plus years, and it's shaped me tremendously. All of that to say, thank you, Mom. Thank you for being such an important part of my life. Thank you for your apparently inexhaustible patience and selflessness. Thank you for your time, your care, your encouragement, and your love for me, for Dad, and most importantly, for God. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. We'd like to have a word for mothers from a husband and son. David, would you come on up here, please? David Pipitone.
Take the shortcut.
Thank you. Yeah. Good morning. Pastor Ford asked me if I could recognize and honor two very special ladies this morning, my mom, Nancy Pipitone, and the mother of my children, my wife, Elizabeth Pipitone. I told them, of course, that it would be my pleasure. And as I got to thinking about what I would say, I found myself very grateful for the opportunity to lift these women up and recognize all of their wonderful traits and qualities. Although I am addressing the congregation right now, these words are going to be directed to the moms. Mom, thank you for giving me life and for showing me the godly way to live my life. Thank you for showing me love, gratitude, the value of hard work, saving your pennies. Thank you for your patience with my brothers and I when we would fight and quarrel and remind us of what God would want us to do instead. Your godly example has forever been burned in my heart and my mind. You are always the overseer of your household, like that of the Proverbs 31 woman, strong, hardworking, and your deepest concerns were always for the well-being of your husband and your children. A mother for her children is a shelter, a place of peace and rest, even in the chaos that exists in our world. You survived endless diaper changes, scrapes on knees after every other bike ride, the teen years. You shared in our victories and our sufferings, all with a love that still exists to this day. Thank you not only for taking care of our needs, but for guiding us through each of life's surprises, and for caring so much for me that you pour that love and devotion into my family and my children as their grandmother. I'm very proud to be called your son. And I hope you know I love you as much as you love me. Elizabeth, throughout every chapter in our lives, I have always been amazed at how well you carry yourself through everything life has to offer us and how passionate you are about the things that you care about. Motherhood is no exception here. You love our children so much, and that love and affection that they show for you is evidence of this. You can pull the kids and me out of dark, gloomy days with that infectious smile, remind us all that God is watching over us and that we're cared for. I wish I could put it into words how amazed I am at the wonderful mother that you've become and how much you inspire me to become a better dad. I've seen you ill and utterly exhausted, yet you still muster the strength to do what needs to be done to take care and love your children and your husband. You put our needs before your own continuously and rarely complain even when you're spent. Thank you not only for being a godly example to our kids, but to me as well. Thank you for reminding us to pray, to ask each other for forgiveness when we do wrong to others, to remind us to love as God loves us. Your words are never empty because you always live them out, one of your many wonderful qualities. May your children always rise and call you blessed, and your husband praise you. You deserve the love that you always freely give, and know that I will always love you. And lastly, to the congregation, I present to you these two virtuous women. May you too be blessed by their faith, their love, their commitment, and their distinguishable example of godly motherhood. They shine as a light in a dark world, and there is no mistaking that Jesus lives in them. Praise God for women like these. Happy Mother's Day.
I'd like for us to hear a word from mothers, from a father talking to a wife as well as to daughters. So, Paul, would you come on up here a second? I love the looks on moms' and wives' faces whenever somebody gets called up.
She didn't know.
Good morning. Wow, that's loud. So, as I open up my Bible, I wanted to express one text initially that kept coming out to me. Do you remember when Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he said, "I wished and hoped that I could have gathered you all under my wings like a hen would gather her chicks"? You don't often hear the Word of God share what might be considered in a feminine way. But from I appreciated everybody that spoke, and I too was touched by that, by them. And I too echo. When Catherine and I met, we talked for hours, and we had plans and goals and hopes and dreams. And we've seen pretty near all of those accomplished, I think. We didn't get saved until we were in our 30s, but we had these dreams and hopes when we were in our late teens. Hannah used the text. I'm not going to repeat it, the chapter on love. However, there's another. This applies to us all. But I got to tell you, as a husband and as a father to Lisa, and to watch them with us as husbands, and to watch them with our children, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It is humbling. So we homeschooled most of our kids as well. And it is for a woman at 24, you know, 7, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's all day, every day, all week. Parents never stop being parents, and grandparents never stop being grandparents. Can I have an amen? It's true. It's true. So Catherine has manifested the fruit of the Spirit in our home towards our children. They have known they've been loved, like we heard said so many different ways just before this. And by virtue of that, she received a hug this week. She's told me several times, I've heard her say it several times, from her eldest grandson, who was 11, about to be 12, walking up to her grandmother and saying, "Did I give you a hug yet today, Grandma?" And she said, "Well, doesn't matter, I'll take another." So he proceeded to give his grandmother a hug. And in the process of doing so, said, "I love you for who you are. I love you for being my grandma." And he gave her a bear hug. And he is light of stature, and Catherine gave a bear hug back and just picked him up. This morning, our son visited our home, and I saw the card that it gave her. And she was blessed by it. When you watch a mother with their children, and then watch a daughter who was raised by, in the home of, our home and nurtured by her mother, and then watching that daughter nurture her children, it's a beautiful thing to behold. And I've been very blessed to be considered to be a part of that family. And it's true. It's by providence that we have the families that we have. I'm very blessed and very thankful. I would love to close you with a challenge, though. As much as I am emotional about thankfulness for Catherine's love and our home, I want to challenge us as men to continue to be whatever helpmate we are to be to them. I know the scripture says for a woman to be a helpmate to their husband. Be aware, be alert, be active. I have learned a lot from watching my Catherine with my kids, our kids, on how I need and could and should and might do things differently. And I'm thankful for that example. So don't stop. Don't push off. Don't separate yourselves. Press in. Stay connected. Sometimes there's times and seasons in our children's lives where Catherine has a testimony of, you know, and God brings a child around. Every single one of our children has a story, either of Christ or of a relationship with mom or dad. And so life happens, but don't push away. Don't close a door. So in closing, and as far as the challenge go, I believe that God has given, as Jesus was the manifestation of the Father, I believe it's evidence to me that God has given mothers the evidence of that as well, of our Father's love for us. I love you, dear. And Lisa, I know you're not here, so if you hear this, I love you too. And praise God.
Thank you. Thank you. I do have one more testimony. Oftentimes we're talking about our moms. I'm going to ask a mom to come and talk about her daughter. So, Kathy, would you come up for just a second?
Good morning. I'm going to be speaking about my daughter, Chelsea Patricia Van Dyke Letourneau, and she was here a little earlier, but I think she's gone. So can you hear me? Oh, she's in the nursery. Okay. Well, first of all, I'll say that Chelsea is a virtuous woman. She was saved at a very young age. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and right. And I could say that about Chelsea as a young girl. She had a real tender heart for the Lord. And although she was a prankster and did cause me a lot of grief, she always had a pure heart for the Lord. Even in high school, she was witnessing to her teachers and praying for them and so concerned for their salvation, bringing them Bibles. And she would come home and share her witnessing, and we'd pray together. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Well, Matthew Letourneau found her. They got talking. I think Matt was a senior and Chelsea a sophomore, and they got chatting about their life goals and hopes and dreams. And Chelsea said, I just want to be a stay-home mom, live in New Hampshire, and marry somebody in construction. And Matt's like, well, I just want to work in construction and stay local and marry someone who wants to have a lot of kids. So it was a few years later that they did marry. Childbearing was a deep desire for both of them. However, it did bring a lot of struggles and challenges. The marriage did as well. Things looked like they were going perfectly for quite a while until the Lord decided he wanted to teach some things. He really desired for Chelsea to be 100% dependent on him alone, not her husband, and for Matthew to be 100% dependent on God and not his own or those mentors that he admired. So the rug was pulled out from under them, but they've been coming through with flying colors. I can say Chelsea truly fears God. She prays much, and now she has quite a testimony and ministry of reconciliation that she loves to pass on. She's gifted in writing. She's gifted in design. She aced everything in her college in graphic design, but kind of laid it aside a little bit. But now, you may not have known that as a family of six, they lived in a one-bedroom until a couple of months ago. Now they're in their own home, and it's just beautiful. More room to design, create, and show her talents. Her kids know they're loved. They are cared for. Matt provides well, but Chelsea also, as a stay-at-home mom, is very enterprising. She's a prudent woman. She knows how to save money. She's the best deal finder around if you ever need anything. She'll find the most beautiful clothes at yard sales. All three of the girls will wear them, and then she'll pass them on or sell them and make her money back. She's always finding things to make it work and to help at home. She's gifted in home management. She knows how to run her household. She's a great cook. I had the opportunity of homeschooling her in ninth grade, and she took up cooking just to break away from the studies. And her brothers would come home from work to find her because they loved her food, and then they'd go back off to construction. The children know that they're a priority. They have all that they need. They can talk to their mom about anything. She'll pray with them, comfort them, counsel them. I would say the greatest gift that's surfacing more and more in Chelsea is that she's opening her mouth with wisdom and encouragement and love. She has a ministry of faith and reconciliation, of healing and hope for those that are struggling. She has a deep gift of mercy in that area. I've always said she's a deep well. And Chelsea, her name means port by the sea. So if you need a break, go to Chelsea and take a break at the sea. She's a real port, a deep well. And so I love her very much, and I hope this is recorded so she can hear it. Thank you.
Thank you all for sharing. I know we've gone a little bit over today. This is a day worth going over on to hear testimonies, because the reality is we often talk about community and no greater community than the one we have at home. You know, Paul shared a little bit, just my closing thoughts. The example of God, we have our Father God, but God has a mother's heart. And you saw that in the text that Paul shared from Matthew 23, how often I wanted to gather you, children, together the way a hen gathers her chicks. It's alluding to Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his pinions and under his wings you may seek refuge. We have a great God. And that manifests itself through families. And I'm so grateful for the testimonies we've had. I'm going to dismiss this in a word of prayer. I was going to have Daniel play. I'm going to ask him to come up and just play as you're going out. And this is a piece that he had written. And so it's one that Karen greatly loves. So I asked him if he would dismiss us with it. You do not have to sit here through it, and unless you just want to. And then please join us downstairs for a fellowship time, and let's honor our moms together. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies we've heard from different ones about moms. Lord, if we had all day to sit up here, we could pass the microphone around and have a whole lot more testimonies. I pray that more of them would be shared in person with personal loved ones, of just how much we're grateful for these amazing women you have placed in our lives. Father, help us to see your heart in the midst of our families and help us to keep pursuing you. And Lord, may what we heard today, the passing on from one generation to another, the truths of God, continue in us and through us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.